Are you the cook this week for Thanksgiving? Is everything on your shoulders, even if you get help? Do you wear holiday cooking stress like a fine tailored three-piece suit? Stress over holiday cooking is common and can make the cool of us a bit blemished. Pie dough seems to be one thing that is just too much. The frozen shells in the grocer's freezer almost always shrink and ruin the dish. The fresh pie dough in the red box is hardly any better. For Thanksgiving or Christmas or Aunt Judy's May birthday pie, this episode will help you get through pie dough making painlessly. Do you need an easy win? Do you want to be sure you've got this? Stick around. The Eating Liberty Podcast, episode 269, Food and Freedom, once a week for life. Hello, folks. Happy Thanksgiving week. Dan Reed here. I have been a chef and a baker, and I know the stress of making pie dough. The first pie dough I ever made was out of a Better Homes and Garden cookbook, and it was hot water and lard, actually shortening, and you had to mix those two together with the fork until it was homogenized. Talk about frustrating. Anyway, everyone seemed happy, but it was a challenge. So I'm going to share with you some of the tips I've learned over the years on how to make pie dough. In one of the Facebook groups I follow, one person posted a recipe for perfect pie crust. She was right. It was the recipe. 1 1/4 cups all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon of sugar, 1/2 cup of butter, chilled, 1/4 cup of water, cool, and 1/4 cup of salt. That was it. No procedure. I commented about the lack of a procedure and got a few snarky remarks, including maybe I should find a beginner's baker's group. Let's say instead of pie dough, it was a recipe for muffins. Butter, sugar, eggs, flour, salt, leavening, flavor, and garnish. Without a procedure, could you make a muffin you were proud to present? Maybe. It isn't impossible, but you might not know that the muffin can very easily be overmixed, and that will impact the tenderness of the baked muffin. You would have no way to know the butter should be melted and that sugar isn't a dry ingredient like flour, but is considered a wet ingredient. Since we're here, pancakes are basically muffins as far as the mixing procedure goes, and the basics are this. Mix the wet ingredients together. Melted butter, not hot, eggs, sugar, and buttermilk and flavoring. Sift the dry ingredients, flour, salt, and leavening. Add the wet to the dry and fold to mix. It's okay if it's a bit lumpy. Any recipe that reads to whisk the mix together well is directing you to make tough pancakes. Now, I know the idea of a tough cake or a tough muffin or a tough pancake seems odd. It can happen. It's also not the end of the world. Let the batter rest for about 5 minutes. I usually make gluten-free pancakes, which I allow to rest 10 minutes, since the gluten-free flours rehydrate at a slower rate than wheat flour does. I also give the mix 1 or 2 large folds, bringing the bottom to the top before I portion and griddle. So, let's get back to pie dough. If you don't know, and how could you in her pie dough recipe, overmixing the pie dough risks the dough shrinking when it is baked. You have no way to know in advance that the pie dough is overmixed if you overmix it. There's nothing in the dough to reveal what has happened. It only one of the frustrations in baking and bread also is you don't really know how well or how poorly you've made the thing until you bake it. The person who posted that recipe commented that simply adding the ingredients in the order listed is the procedure. Well, that's not a procedure. And so it's an order of operations, but it's not a procedure. The muffin recipe, excepting, of course, I gave no quantities, is also an order of operations process. Fat lot of good that does if you don't know the procedure. Now, I'll add a link to the show notes page for my pie dough page, which includes a video I made about making pie dough. The counterintuitive idea is less mixing is better. Pie dough is a biscuit, and biscuits benefit from less mixing and manipulation. Now, we're going to get kind of funny here with this word manipulation. Particularly and only with the pie dough. So for the mixing part, I start the pie dough in a mixing bowl. I also cut the cold butter into approximately 1/4 or 1/2 inch cubes. I use milk and it's very cold. In my recipe, I also use egg. So into the mixing bowl, I add the flour, sugar, salt, and butter. Paddle that on low until the butter is well mixed into the flour, but still is in smaller pieces. I don't mind, in fact, I prefer the chunks, we're going to want them. By no means do I intend to fully incorporate the butter into the flour. Those chunks are going to contribute to the flakiness we so crave in our pie dough. So we've mixed the butter and the flour and the sugar and the salt. I mix the egg and the milk together, mix that pretty well, then add that to the mixing bowl. Now, on low speed, I mix that for maybe 10 seconds. No kidding, 10 seconds. In the parlance of the baker, it's going to be a shaggy mess. That's okay. The real mixing happens on the counter, which is the manipulation part, but it's going to work out. To mix the pie dough, to manipulate the pie dough, place the shaggy mess on a clean portion of your countertop. You're going to need a good couple of square feet to work. The video does a good job of showing what I'm going to explain. The visual is a big help. Place the pie dough shaggy mess into a pile in the middle of your workspace. With the heel of your dominant hand, press down on the center of the pile and at the same time, move your hand forward. So you're pushing down and away into the counter and smearing the butter and flour together. The goal is to sort of knead the pie dough by pushing it down. When you move your hand forward, you are pressing the flour into the butter, but also not really activating the gluten, which is the thing that's going to make the pie dough shrink. This process of pushing down and away will build the pie dough from this shaggy mess. Now repeat that a second time and a third time. As you work through the pile, you'll have a new pile in front and some stuff on the edges. Gather all of that together onto your counter and repeat the process. In only a few minutes, that shaggy mess will look exactly like pie dough. Now, sometimes new to baking people find that when dough sticks to your hands, it's an uncomfortable feeling. They don't like it. This is going to happen. When you're making a pie dough this way, you're going to get dough stuck to your hands. But the beauty of it all is nearly all of it is going to come off very easily. Pie dough for the bottoms of the pans is easy to determine how much you need. For every inch of pie pan, plan on an ounce of pie dough. That will include excess for a nice crimped edge, and some excess will be for waste. As you get good at making pie dough, rolling it out and fitting it into the pan, you can cut that ratio down a little bit. So for a 9-inch pan, you need 9 ounces of dough. You probably also need a scale. With your finished pie dough on the counter, weigh your portions as you are as you require them for your pie pans. So with either a bench scraper or a bowl scraper or some way to cut them into the size you need, cut them into that shape, and then shape them into a flat disc, maybe an inch or so thick. What we want to avoid is making them into balls. What we're going to do with this pie dough is we can't really use it yet. It's much too soft and hasn't had a chance for the flour to hydrate, to absorb the liquid that's in there. And we really want the butter to get back to something of a solid nature, because that's going to make rolling a lot easier. If you shape your pie dough portions into balls, it's going to take longer for the cold, the process of a transfer of heat or transfer of cold will take longer. And when you go to roll it out, it's going to crack on the edges, and it's going to be much harder to keep a nice round shape. So shaping your pie dough into a disc to begin with just makes all of that process easier to begin with, because you're starting out in the shape that you want to have. A good 4 hours really is probably what you need to let that pie dough rest so that the butter is cold, the flour absorbs the water, and then you can have something that's going to roll well and easily on your flour counter. Now, depending on the pie you are making, or maybe you're making a quiche. Ooh, turkey quiche. That's a good idea. Some pie dough requires baking first. That's called blind baking. Since pie dough is a biscuit, it will rise a bit. Even though it has no leavening, there's the milk or the water, and the egg has water in it. And the water will create steam when it gets hot, and that steam is going to give the pie dough some lift. So to prevent that from happening, which we want to prevent that from happening, we're going to weigh the pie dough down. So pie weights are snazzy ways for stores to take extra cash from you, but they aren't necessary. Dried beans is a popular way to hold a pie dough down, but after a few bakes, they start to smell really bad. I use rice. Doesn't smell. So dock the pie dough. So we have our nine-inch pie pan. Your dough is in the pan. You've crimped the edges. With the tines of a fork, just from noon to 6, every half inch or so, just poke, deep, 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 poke holes in the crust. Then do that on the left side and the right side until you have poked holes into the entire bottom surface. We're not looking for, we're not like machine gun blasts. We just want some holes, not loads. Take your piece of parchment paper. Make it a square, more than big enough for your pie pan, and crinkle it up into a ball. Then, unfold it, place that into your pie crust, and then add the rice. Now, you don't need to push the parchment into the crust. The weight of the rice is going to be enough to hold it in, and push the rice around to cover the whole bottom of the pie. Now, you don't need to fill, you don't need 9 cups of rice. Well, it's probably more. You don't need 4 cups of rice. A couple cups is enough. Just enough to hold the bottom of the pie pan down, pie dough down. So place the pie tin on a sheet pan and bake approximately 10 minutes. Every oven's different. 10 to 15 minutes. Check the pie dough. You want to see a beginning of baking to have happened. When you see that you're getting a color change and that the dough is beginning to bake, carefully grab all 4 corners of your parchment and lift the parchment paper with the rice inside, like a little pouch. Carefully, slowly lift that off the pie dough and get your face down there and look. Is the pie dough sticking to the parchment? It shouldn't, but check. If it is, stop lifting. Get a table knife, or if you have a small baker's offset spatula, reach under the parchment and release the pie dough that's sticking and just let it fall back onto the pie pan. So once your parchment is released, if that was a problem, transfer that onto another sheet pan or onto a plate or something. The bottom of your parchment is going to be buttery. So if you set that down on anything, what you put it on is going to get buttered. And now you have a mess to clean. So put it on something so that doesn't happen. Return the pie dough shell to the oven to finish baking until it gets nice and brown. Now, tears sometimes happen. With the pie shell, so finish baking with whatever it is you've got if there's a tear. That's not going to be a problem. When take it out when it's done, and you have some leftover scraps of pie dough, take a piece of that when the shell is cool to the touch, and manipulate, more of that word, press a small piece of that pie dough in your fingers, big enough to cover the little tear, place it gently on top of the pie dough, and then this sounds like a Zen thing. Carefully, firmly and gently, press the edge of the raw pie dough into the edge around it onto the surface of the pie, of the baked pie dough. What you're making is a patch. So that when you go to fill your pie and then bake it, or your quiche and then bake it, that patch will, A, keep the filling in the pie, which we want to have. It's getting, when it leaks through and you get a custard inside between the pan and the crust, makes getting it out really challenging. Somebody's going to get a bite that isn't completely crust crunchy, but it's not going to be raw. That piece of crust will cook, will bake, but the main thing is we want to protect the integrity of the pie shell, and that way that little piece is going to do that. As with most things mixing, especially for baking, plan for extra time to make this, especially if this is your first time. Slow and steady is better than being in a rush and making a mistake. Custard pies, and pumpkin pie is a custard pie, need time to cool. So make the pie dough on Tuesday for a bake on Wednesday, and to cool until Thursday. Now, you can make the whipped cream on Thursday, you can make the whipped cream on Tuesday, and test it a couple times to make sure it's still good, because whipped cream. But it's not difficult. So the video will help. The blog post page will also help. And you got this. You can do this. Read the recipe, watch the video, visualize every step. I know that it's weird to think about pushing pie dough down and away, but the process does work. And if you end up with small streaky bits of butter in the pie dough, that means you've done the right job. You want the pie dough just to come together. When that happens, you're done mixing. So extra little buttery bits, not a problem. That's going to end up making a really amazing crust. Have a wonderful feast on Thanksgiving, and I'll see you soon. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I'll add a link to the show notes page also for the Thanksgiving and Christmas recipes and prep list. Of course, tailor your prep list to your own menu, but it's a start. Have a wonderful week and weekend, and I'll see you soon. Music for the Culinary Libertarian Podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.